Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood again today, and it is my honor and privilege to do so. Dr. Youngblood asked me if I would host a show because he is still facing a family situation with his son in the hospital from COVID-19. This has been going on for more than 3 weeks now, and we have been asking for the audience, for the saints there, to please pray for Dr. Youngblood and his son, Gene A. Youngblood Jr., who is in the hospital with COVID and is really putting up a gallant fight. Your prayers have meant so much to the family, and it has also sustained Gene Youngblood Jr. in the hospital. Things were looking pretty critical for him just over the weekend to where it looked tough, very tough. But your prayers have sustained him and his family to this point. So please continue to pray. All of you out there who support Dr. Youngblood and his family and who know Dr. Youngblood and his family, please pray. Your prayers are effective, they are powerful, and they mean so much to the family and to me. I've prayed daily for Dr. Youngblood and his son. And again, we have seen God do some really great things. So don't lose heart. Continue to pray. It is so needed. So we have a lot we're going to be talking about today, folks. The Biden administration, let me say the Biden regime, never fails to give us things to talk about because what they are doing is so outrageous in so many different areas. Before we get started with that, let's talk about those who support Let's Face the Issues. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time staff can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. You can reach Tools for Time online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the number of items that I do want to discuss today with you has to do with, first, why don't we start off with, I'm sure you've all heard it by now, that Governor Newsom, Gavin Newsom, survived his recall election and will remain governor in California. He won pretty handily with 65% of the vote. And, of course, I'm sure there was some amount of election fraud that went on. But when we see such a large measure that he won the vote, they probably would have won even without the election fraud. He beat Larry Elder, who was running as a Republican, against Gavin Newsom. But he won the election. And I'll tell you what, I'm just amazed that the Democrats in California would continue to keep this man in office after they have observed, they've experienced what he has done to that state, that once beautiful state. He has pretty much decimated it with his nonsensical response to COVID-19, and even before that, the way he increased taxes there, the way the Democrat-led legislature so crazily makes decisions that a negative effect on the environment there, causing wildfires and a shortage of water. Yes, some of that is natural, but a lot of that could be mitigated if the Democrats didn't make such crazy decisions that are environmentally just wacko. And so here Gavin Newsom is. So many people and businesses have left the state. Hey, you know, that might explain one reason why he won. Those who really don't support him have left the state. So it only leaves the crazy Democrats there to vote for him, which they did. But you would think that even they would know. Businesses left the state in droves. People left the state in droves. And now that the tax base of those leaving, because the Democrats, like Newsom, like to tax and spend so much, they're going to have to raise taxes on those who remain there to continue their crazy spending pattern that they have. We see throughout the state of California, their homeless situation is out of control. And that is because of Democrats who are in charge of the local counties and cities, who are just as goofy as Newsom is. And they make these decisions that actually increase homelessness. It's like feeding the bears. The more you feed the bears, the less reliant they are on themselves, and the more they'll take food from you. Well, these homeless camps seem to grow daily because they're almost encouraged to do that. And they've made decisions there in California which hurts negatively the housing situation, forcing people to not be able to afford housing, and then they go homeless. And these camps just grow and grow. So enough about California. It's a goofy state. The only thing I hate about people leaving California is that when they go to their new area, their new state, Arizona, Washington State, Oregon, even into Texas, they bring their crazy ideas with them. Their leftist, high tax, high spending ideas with them. And we even experienced that here in Florida. By the way, I'm Mike Hill. I'm from Pensacola, Florida. That's in the panhandle. I served in the Florida State House for 5 years, first elected in 2013. Dr. Youngblood and I met in Tallahassee at an education event back in 2018, I believe it was. And he and I have been good friends ever since. If you would like to join the program and just call in with your comments or with your thoughts, the number is 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. Okay, one item I'd like to start with is we see that the Biden administration is doing all that they can to take your eyes off of the debacle that happened in Afghanistan. That was a complete and is still an utter disaster, where we left too hurriedly without a plan in place, leaving billions of dollars of equipment, leaving American citizens trapped behind enemy lines, and turning over to the enemy, the Taliban, billions of dollars of military high-grade military equipment. We allowed the Chinese and the Russians to come in quickly and fill that vacuum that was created when we pulled out much too quickly and without a coherent plan. So to distract us from that, the Biden administration is coming up with all these other ideas. One of them is that they want to create an Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, another government agency. Utterly crazy. So this newly grown tentacle of the federal Leviathan is tasked with protecting the health of people throughout the U.S. in the face of climate change, especially those experiencing a higher share of exposures and impacts. This department, this brand new agency that Joe Biden created called the Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, this department will handle issues of environmental justice, whatever that is, and work with those on the front lines of the climate crisis. So whenever you create another agency, which the Democrats have done with this one, Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, it's not free. You have to raise taxes to pay for it, to hire the employees who are going to work there. And then once a new department or new agency is created, it never goes away. Okay, even if you believe that climate change warrants this kind of a response, why do you need a new federal agency for this specific task? Why can't one of the dozens of other health-related agencies tackle this project, including the Department of Health, which, by the way, is unconstitutional? In fact, of these 457 agencies within the federal government, the vast majority of them are unconstitutional. They should not even exist. If we were to pull back this Leviathan back within its constraints of the Constitution, we would not need a federal income tax to fund it. That's the truth. We wouldn't have this trillions and trillions of dollars of national debt, to which even paying the interest on it is in the hundreds of billions of dollars, and something that we can hardly afford. Now, the obviously political move is sure to cost taxpayers millions, if not billions, of dollars. We'll pay for office space, computers, salaries, and furniture, not to mention funding the actual projects they cook up. Okay, they're talking about environmental justice. What does environmental justice even mean? Does it mean that because it's too hot in one area, we need to make it hotter in other areas? If it's too cold in one area, we need to make it colder in others? If the ocean is rising, we have to do something to stop the ocean rise? By the way, folks, there's no such thing as ocean rising right now. There's no such thing as beach erosion. The beaches have been there ever since after the flood. Now, of course, that coastline moves. It comes in and out depending on the ocean, tides, and various other factors, but not because of man emitting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. No, it is because when we say beach erosion, it's because people build too close to the beach. They build condos and homes that are way too close to the beach. And then a storm will come in, storms that are naturally caused. A storm will come in and cause some of the beach to either be displaced. Sand is moved out into the ocean. Sand is moved up on shorelines and has to be moved by bulldozers. I live here in Florida, in Pensacola. I've seen it time and time again. And people will still build along those coastlines and then scream about beach erosion. No, you're building too close to the beach. Move off of the beach, allow that public access for everyone, and you won't have to worry about that beach erosion. Okay, so I could go on talking about this new agency, the Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, but you get the idea. The federal government is bloated. and there seems to be no sign of it shrinking. Washington bureaucrats love their power and position, and agencies are almost never dissolved or disbanded. As long as Congress keeps appropriating funds to these agencies, they aren't going anywhere. And that's the whole point. As long as Congress continues to fund these agencies, and believe you me, they will continue to fund these agencies. Here's an article from the Family Research Council. They're out of Washington, D.C. And Congress has a plan to tax the American economy. This is a very interesting article. It says Democrats are running Congress like rowdy teenagers joyriding in a borrowed Lamborghini. They know they'll have to surrender the keys soon, so they'll extract every possible ounce of thrill they can. To fund their unprecedented spending proposals, these are their spending proposals. They want to spend between $3 and $6 trillion. So to fund that, the House Ways and Means Committee has proposed an estimated $3.5 trillion in tax increases. Even though it says while targeted at the wealthy, the brunt of the increases will fall on small businesses, families, and workers, forcing the struggling middle class down into the lower class. That's exactly right. This is not theory. This is something that we have seen time and time again with the Democrats. Whenever they are in charge of the House and the Senate, and now they have a House, Senate, and a presidency, thank goodness they don't have a Supreme Court. You talk about going through a fundamental transformation that Obama started. It would be complete under Obama if they had the Supreme Court. We would be in even worse trouble than we are now, ladies and gentlemen. So Congress always, Democrats always want to tax and then spend. Tax and spend. And that is how dictators work. That is how socialist and communist nations work. They take as much money from you that they can and then spend it. Most of the time, it's either on themselves, capital cronyism, on their friends, their buddies. They get rich while the middle class gets poorer and poorer, because that's who the brunt of the taxes always falls upon. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill calling from Pensacola, Florida, sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. If you would like to join the conversation, you can call in at 904-831-0917. I'm sure by now most of you have probably seen that photograph of AOC, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, where she appeared at this gala event wearing this dress that says Tax the Rich. And she is so dumb, she didn't even see the irony behind her wearing this dress. Very expensive dress, by the way, at an event where it costs $35,000 per person to attend. So only rich people are there. And she's wearing a dress that says Tax the Rich. You can't get any dumber than that. But don't try to explain economics to her or, frankly, to any on the left, because for some reason they just don't seem to understand economics. Now, here's the thing about Biden's mandates. Biden mandating that everyone's going to get vaccinated. I'm sure you heard about that, where the Biden administration is saying that any company that has over 100 employees, you must have your employees vaccinated or face fines and penalties. He's, again, another measure to take your eyes off of what happened in Afghanistan and the utter disaster we're seeing on the border. We're seeing an illegal immigration invasion happening in the United States right before our very eyes. And this disaster was man-made and created by Biden and his administration. It was intentional. It was on purpose, just like that disaster that we saw in Afghanistan. Leaving that equipment there was intentional. Don't think that that was a mistake or that was a bungling blunder. No, that was intentional. It was intentional because we know that Biden has a lot of the same people who were working in his administration who were a part of the Obama administration. And during the Obama administration, we saw time and time again where Obama was helping the Muslim terrorists. He created the rise of ISIS. He created the Muslim Brotherhood spring offensive. That was all created and funded by Obama. And I can guarantee you that what leaving that equipment behind for the Muslim terrorists was intentional. We see that the Obama administration and the Biden administration take their orders from the Council on Foreign Relations. Several members of the Biden administration are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is a globalist institution which wants to bring America down to its knees only enough to pay for their globalist intentions to set up a one world government. That is no longer speculation. That is not conjecture. That is a fact, ladies and gentlemen. That is what we are seeing right before our very eyes. And the fact that we have this invasion coming across our southern border, that is also intentional. It is intentional because they are trying to get rid of borders as much as they possibly can so that one government will be able to control it all. Now, I'm reading from an article by Tony Perkins, who's with the Family Research Council. It says, for most Democrats, creating political distractions is an art form. Not so much for Joe Biden, whose idea of changing the conversation of Afghanistan was starting a civil war over the COVID vaccine. Late last week, when the president threw down his national mandate, it was like taking people's minds off of burnt toast by setting your house on fire. Sure, they got Americans to stop talking about the Taliban, only because they were on the phone with their attorneys looking for ways to sue the government. The article goes on to say, for the White House, it was another catastrophic failure in a presidency littered with self-destructive choices. In just 3 months, Biden's approval rating is in a place where he spent most of 2020, the basement. Down 16 points since the summer, the administration is taking on enough water to put out all of California's wildfires. And yet, there's no indication that this president understands or cares what's happening to his country or credibility. He's too busy wagging his finger at skeptical Americans like an exasperated parent whose patience is wearing thin. But Joe Biden isn't our father, the government isn't our doctor, and the Democrat Party isn't our conscience. And until the White House starts treating Americans like adults and not ignorant serfs, the resistance will only grow. And I agree with Tony Perkins 100% on that. The resistance to this regime that we see in Washington, D.C. must continue. Do not comply. If you don't want to get the vaccine, then don't get it. I'll tell you, for me personally, I'm not getting the vaccine. And I have encouraged everyone in my family to not get the vaccine. And I'm pretty sure none of them have to this point. I'm talking about my immediate family. I know I have some brothers and sisters who have taken a vaccine, but that's their choice. And that's the whole point of, in America, we champion the rights of the individual. If you want to, fine. If you want the vaccine, you take the vaccine. If you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask. But don't try to force it upon someone who does not want to. And I'm talking about not only the government, but businesses. Don't force someone to take the vaccine who doesn't want it. Don't force someone to wear a mask who doesn't want to wear the mask. So in America, we champion the rights of the individual. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I am not going to get the vaccine is because of the side effects that we have experienced with it so far. In fact, there was an article written by the Exposé, this is out of the United Kingdom, that gives 13 reasons why you should not allow your child to get the COVID-19 vaccine. And they start off with reason number one, and this is stunning. 86% of children suffered an adverse reaction to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine in the clinical trial. So in the clinical trial, 86% of children suffered an adverse reaction to the Pfizer COVID vaccine. That should have been enough right there to halt the entire process and to not approve that vaccine. Recall that this was when Trump was in office and he was trying to get a hold on this whole COVID pandemic. I believe he succumbed to the hysteria just as much as a lot of other people did. But this is a virus that less than 2% of the population actually die from. In fact, it's 99% recover from it. It's 0.02% who die from the virus. And with such a recovery rate, there was no need for the reaction that we saw. And here is President Trump, who, taking the advice from the medical physicians who are around him, including Dr. Fauci, that fraud. He has been exposed as a complete fraud, and I don't know why anyone will listen to a word that he has to say. So here's Trump, who was, at the time, didn't know that Fauci was such a fraud, listened to him and said, hey, we are going to develop this vaccine, and we're going to do it in warp speed. And sure enough, they did. But they really should have slowed down. They really should have made sure that the vaccine was safe. So we can see that reason number one, why you should not have your child get the COVID-19 vaccine, and they have documentation to back this up. They don't just say this, they actually have documentation. And the reason number one, 86% of children suffered an adverse reaction to the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine in the clinical trial. And then in the article, they have a chart which shows the reaction, the responses. So they have this completely documented of these adverse reactions during a clinical trial. Reason number two, 1 in 9 children suffered a severe adverse reaction, leaving them unable to perform daily activities during a Pfizer clinical trial. So again, during the trial, 86% of the children had an adverse reaction, and 1 in 9 had a severe reaction, where they were unable to perform daily activities. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be taking a break at the top of the hour. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. We'll come back after the hour. We'll continue this article and other items, and we look forward to you joining the call at 904-831-0917. We'll be back right after the top of the break. Stay with us.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.